What we gonna do? Keep on having all the famous people? When there's some people out here that can preach circles around me? No, it's time for a changing of the guards. That's right, let me tell you something. When I said I was doing women on the front line, leave her alone. Leave that woman alone. That woman getting free. She breaking out of religion. Because some of y'all got a little praise. Hallelujah. Let me help you with something. Let me help you with something. Let me tell you something right here. I got to show you something. I got to show you something. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I'm doing women on the front line because the Lord said it was accessing the power within. And I was planning. He started saying, no, I want financial directors, man. I want creditors to be there. I want people to be there to teach people about how to organize them, how to start a business, all of that. That's what I want for women. He said, I want you to mix the spirituality with the intelligence. And I said, okay, God. And then he spoke something to me, Bishop, that blew my mind. It blew my mind. He said, where's Tanya Hall? Come here. Come out here. He said, now this woman has been with you for 10 years. 10 years plus. 10 years plus she's been with you. And she's been working your ministry. She's been talking to pastors. She's been doing all the work. She's been organizing conferences. She's been doing all of this. And I said, okay, God. And he spoke this to me, Bishop. He said, this year, I don't want you to get stuck in the stardom of ministry. I want you to give her the Women on the Frontline Conference. I want you to hand it to her as a gift and tell her, now take it further. You don't hear what I'm saying? See, some of y'all, Lord, you got to know when to quit. You got to know when to switch. You got to know when it's not your turn no more. You got to know. Somebody better give me a shout right now. And he said to me, he said, you'll do the conference. And the last day of the conference, it'll be called the prophetic transfer. And you will give her the mantle for this conference. And you will now become her guest speaker. Because she, oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. Oh, y'all, I can't get nobody to talk to me right there. I can't get nobody to talk to me. Okay, I got to show you why. Come on. You ready? You ready? Turn it up.
In every generation, God raises up a revolutionary, a chief commander, a voice who's not afraid to cry loud and spare none on behalf of his people. We call her the prophetess to the nations, whose very presence invokes a tangible anointing that fills stadiums and changes lives. With transparency and brokenness, she ushers people into the presence and glory of God. Prophetess Juanita Bynum is an awesome teacher who delivers God's word in season with boldness, freshness, and authority. Juanita Bynum Ministries is world-renowned and has been marked with signs and wonders since its inception. From No More Sheets to the Threshing Floor, the power of God has been unquestionable.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
If you have your Bibles, I want to turn to very familiar scripture found in Matthew chapter 26. And I'm going to read from verse 26 all the way through verse 30. I'm going to be reading in the New Living Translation as they have the King James text on the screen. This is how it reads. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and broke it. Then he broke it in pieces. Excuse me, let me go back. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until that day I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Then they sang a song, a hymn, and went out to the Mount of Olives. I want us to just talk about a very, very question that comes to mind. Why Jesus gave thanks to God? Turn to your neighbor and say, "Dear neighbor, why did Jesus give thanks to God?" Amen. We see in our text that this was a solemn occasion in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. And that he found it possible during this time of his life to give thanks and to be thankful to God. Now, I don't know if y'all were listening today, but that word thanks have been thrown around all morning.
Yes, sir. Yes,
praise
sir.
God. We started it in Sunday school.
Yeah.
We had it in prayer back there, and then I heard it out here again.
Yeah.
Praise God today. Yes, praise yes. God. Jesus is getting ready to go through all of the agony that he is about to face, but guess what? He finds some time to give thanks to God. Now, I want you to let that just soak in for about a minute. Praise God. You see, in the days in which we live today, amen, that many people are just not thankful.
All right.
Can I start preaching now?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Let me put this on. Today, in the day that we live, that's the green one, praise God, people are just not thankful. They just don't want to say thank you. Praise God for the things that you do. You can go out of your way, praise God, to help somebody. You can take the shirt off of your, can y'all hear me? Praise God. You can take the shirt off of your body. You don't have a problem. Praise God, hearing myself. Praise God. And then folk will not say thank you for the things that you do. Praise God. I'm not picking on young folk, but sometimes, praise God, I look at some of the young people today. Praise God, they think that somebody owe them something.
All right now.
Amen.
All right.
Do y'all get that same session that I get? Praise God. And nobody want to say thank you. Nobody wants to. Oh, Lordy, hallelujah, man, I'm feeling it now. Praise God. Nobody want to say thank you, but Jesus
all right.
About to go to the cross, about to die. Praise God, and he found some time to say thank you to his Father. Amen. You see, it's evident to me, praise God, that Jesus was in the habit of saying thank you. And if there's something that you and I could take on as born-again believers today, praise God, we ought to take on this habit, praise God, of saying thank you.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to try it sometime. We ought to try it right now.
Yes.
Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor.
Amen.
And say, neighbor.
Amen.
Yes, sir. if you are sitting by yourself, praise God, and you are not in distance of anybody, I want you to say, neighbor, look over somebody, neighbor. Say, neighbor, oh, neighbor, I thank you for sitting on the pew with me. Amen.
Right.
Praise God. See, we ought to get into the habit of saying thank you. There's nothing wrong with that word, praise God, telling somebody thank you. Praise God. I look at our Lord, you know, the Lord's Supper, amen, was given to us as a permanent ordinance. Let me make sure. I want to make this. I'm going to take my time when I go through here because I want to make sure everybody understands where I'm coming from and what it is I'm trying to convey this morning. Praise God. This ordinance of the Lord's Supper was given as a permanent ordinance. Anybody know what permanent means? Praise God. Permanent means that we are to observe this, praise God, until he comes again. Amen. Not hitting this. Not doing it because our religion tells us that we shouldn't have to do it. Praise God, I'm going somewhere, y'all. Praise God, but this is a permanent ordinance that we ought to observe. Praise God. See, it was while they were eating the Passover meal. I'm going to break this down for you. Praise God. It was while they were eating the Passover meal that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. All right. Amen. All right. Now everybody understand what the Passover was. Praise God. Let me make it clear. You see, the Lord's Supper is the new ordinance of God to celebrate his deliverance of man from bondage of slavery and sin. Now everybody remember the Passover. Praise God. The Passover, what were they doing? Praise God. At the Passover, they will celebrate, praise God, their deliverance from where? From Egypt. Amen. That's what they did at the Passover. But what Jesus Christ did on the night that they were celebrating the Passover, he ushered in something new. Praise God. He ushered in this thing that we call the Lord's Supper, which represented the fact, praise God, that he was telling the world, he was telling those that were around him and everybody in the world that I am that sacrificial lamb that was going to die for the sins of the entire world. In other words, he ushered something new in on that night. Praise God. You see, he said, I am the Lamb of God. Praise God, that's going to take away the sins of the world. And the Spirit of God put that in John the Baptist. Praise God, when John the Baptist at John chapter 1, verse 29, when he saw him coming, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. In other words, no longer would you have to sit here and worry about some Passover. Praise God, whether where God took you out of Egypt and all of that. That's done with. I am ushering something in new today. Praise God. I'm ushering in the fact that I'm going to die. And praise God. And because I'm going to die, I'm going to set you free from your sin. And let me tell you something, my brothers and my sisters. We ought to be thankful because of that. Amen. You see, by instituting the Lord's Supper during the Passover meal, Jesus was not only tying his supper to the Passover, but he, praise God, he was proclaiming himself to be the Lamb of God who was to be what? Slain for the sins of every man. You see, Jesus instituted the Passover, the Lord's Supper, amen, before he died. Oh, Lord, that's going to sink in here in a minute.
Yes, sir.
He instituted before he died, not after he resurrected.
Yeah.
He instituted before he died.
Yeah.
In other words, what that tells me, praise God, since he instituted it before he died, it let me know that his death was a voluntary, praise God, hallelujah.
Yeah.
It was a voluntary thing, praise God, because if he wanted to,
He could have bypassed it if he really wanted to. But my God, he had said that I am the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. And he already had instituted in the Lord's Supper, praise God. So he could have just, he could have sat down and said, I got to worry about it now. Praise God. But he did not do that. What did he do? He decided that he was going to crawl upon a cross. Oh Lord, I'm ready to start preaching now. Praise God that he would get on a cross and that he would go on that cross on a hill called Calvary and that he would die for our sins. And he did it, praise God, to be voluntary. It was a voluntary thing. Amen. So I got to answer the question that I gave you. I asked you why. Why did Jesus give thanks to God? Amen. I believe I can pull three reasons out why he gave thanks. Praise God. First of all, I believe he gave thanks to God for God's past blessings. Let me see the hands of all of y'all that have been blessed in the past. Let me see the hands of all the people in here today that have been blessed in the past. Praise God. And since you have been blessed in the past, guess what? You ought to be giving God some thanks right now. In fact, praise God, there ought to be enough noise in here right now that we should not even be able to stand in here and stand it. Praise God. So God, so Jesus, praise God, he gave him thanks for some of the past blessings. I say when I look at Jesus being God manifested in the flesh, what were some of those past, praise God, blessings that God had done in his life? Can I name you a few of them? Praise God. First of all, he allowed him to turn water into wine. Praise God. He had given him a great victory over Satan, praise God, when he was out there in the wilderness after fasting some 40 days and 40 nights. Praise God. He had taught his disciples, praise God, how to pray. Not only that, praise God, that was a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 long years, and she had spent everything that she had, went to every doctor that she knew, and he allowed him to heal him, praise God. Not only that, he had cleansed some of the most dreaded disease that were going around at that time, which was leprosy. Not only that, praise God, God had allowed him to open the eyes of those that were blind, praise God. Not only that, praise God, he allowed him to feed over 5,000, praise God, with just two fish and five loaves of bread. Praise God. Not only did he do that, praise God, he had raised Lazarus from the dead. He had raised the widow of Nain, Jairus' daughter, from the dead. He had also risen the widow of Nain's son from the dead. So and not only that, he allowed him to preach and he taught God's fearing principles to men and women. So perhaps he was thanking him for some of those past blessings that he had already bestowed upon him. But perhaps he was thanking God for his redemptive purpose. Praise God, from the very dawn of beginning. What do I mean by that? Praise God. We know that he came into this world in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, I believe, that said, he said that, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle and all the earth, and over every creeping thing that what? Creeps upon the earth. And there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus was right there when man fell, when Adam decided that he would disobey God. And so Jesus is thankful that God will use him in his redemptive plan, because you know he did look for somebody, praise God, that was going to come back and get his church. Amen. Can I just give you a few that he tried to call? He said, I would use Abraham, but Abraham was a liar, so I couldn't use him to go back and take my church. I would use Noah, but Noah was the one that got drunk, so I left him out there. I would use David, but David was an adulterer. He was a murderer. Praise God, so I can't use him. But he said, I got to have somebody that will be able to come back in my redemptive plan. And praise God, he looked back and saw one, as they say in Revelation, praise God, sitting back there upon the altar, praise God, coming up through all trials and tribulations. I'm talking about this man that we call Jesus. And he took him and wrapped him up into bodily form, sent him down to this earth, praise God, so that he would be born of a woman, praise God. Walked this earth for 33 and a half long years. And then one day, praise God, grab hold of a pair of sandals and walk up a hill called Calvary. What am I trying to say? Praise God, he was thanking him for all of those past things. Well, let me get, I see right now I'm not going to be able to do all of this. Come get this coat from me. Praise God, hallelujah. But not only that, praise God, perhaps he was thanking God for the divine protection, praise God, of his servants through, praise God, the century. Who were some of their servants? Noah and his family, praise God, that he saved through the flood. Abraham and his family, who he told to get out of the land of the Uz of the Chaldeans, and I'm going to send you to a land, praise God, that's unfamiliar with you. And because of your faith, praise God, I'm going to take care of you. He protected Moses, praise God, when Moses was a little bitty baby boy. Y'all know the story. Praise God, they put out, the Pharaoh had put out an edict and said that every male child that was born in that time, praise God, they wanted them killed. But praise God, they took little Moses and put him in the water, and praise God, and sailed him away. God protected him so that he can use him in his redemptive plan. Not only that, praise God, he protected David from the wrath of Saul. Y'all know how Saul was breathing out here, but God said, Jesus perhaps was thanking him for all of those past things that he did. And finally, he was thanking God for his abiding presence. Praise God, you know what he said. Praise God, I believe it was John 3:17. It might have been John 3:17 or John 3:11. Praise God, when he was getting ready to be baptized, what he said, that he had a dove that landed upon the shoulder of Jesus. And he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So what am I trying to say this morning? That Jesus gave thanks to God for his past blessings. But I believe he not only did he give him thanks for his past blessings, he gave thanks to God for his present blessings. Praise God, we can see and we can be certain that our Lord Jesus was being and he was laboring with us in the awesome of abiding presence of our Lord. And God was blessing him and protecting him in his present blessings. You see, our Lord had come on a mission that would involve teaching and healing and also dying on the cross. Praise God, he was so near to the completion of his mission that he felt thankful to God because of his job, because of the joy of his personal accomplishment. No doubt he was thankful, praise God, for those 11 faithful disciples who had stood by him, didn't get the notion like Judas and would betray him, even though some of them decided that they wouldn't walk close with him. When the end came, we know that Peter threw in the towel. Peter, praise God, wouldn't go with him. Praise God, Peter was asked, are you one of them? And what did Peter do? Do I have any sailors in here? Hallelujah. Peter started cursing like a sailor and said, I didn't know him. Hallelujah. So Jesus gave thanks to God for his present blessings. And we need to do the same thing, because I'd rather look around this church. God has blessed us. God has blessed us with so many things. When I look out here today, I didn't see anybody rolled in here in a wheelchair. I didn't see anybody walk in here on any crutches. I didn't see anybody who was carried in here, praise God, by somebody else. And we ought to be glad, and we ought to be thankful for what the Lord has done for us. Every time I get an opportunity, I thank God for all that he's done. Let me give you some examples. Every time I get a chance to go to the hospital and visit somebody, I thank God for my portion of help and my strength. Every time I have the opportunity, praise God, to go and attend one of those Special Olympics, I thank God that he gave me the activities of my legs. I thank God that he gave me the activity of my arms. Every time I see somebody standing out under a porch somewhere by a railroad track, not having food enough to eat, dirty in their clothes, I thank God that he didn't allow me to be in that prediction. I thank God, praise God, during those hard economics times, that he gave me a job so that I was able to pay my bills. I thank God because of all the things that he's done. And as I look around this church this morning, there ought to be somebody standing on their feet, giving God some praise, giving God some thanks. I look at all of these children, praise God, they're not being with their biological parents, but they have somebody who's trying to show them some love. Somebody who's trying to bring them to church. Somebody who's trying to tell them that Jesus is for real. You ought to be thankful for everything that somebody did. I look at all of the kids who've been raised by grandparents today. I look at children today who've been raised by grandparents today. Parents had them but abandoned them. Thank God for grandmothers. If you're a grandmother in here, pat yourself on the back. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, to thank him for all the things that he done. But not only did Jesus thank him for his past blessings, not only did he thank him for his present blessings, he thanked him for his future blessings. He knew that he was going to go to a cross. He knew that he was going to die. But one of the things that he knew that once he laid his body down, that he was going to get up. 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 Hallelujah. And be elevated, praise God, to the right hand of God the Father, where he's sitting, intervening and intercessing for me. He looked down the road, praise God, throughout all kinds of generations, and he saw me coming along and knew that I was going to need somebody to go my bail. I thank God for his past blessings. I thank God for the present blessings that he had. I sure enough thank God for his future blessings. Because if I have, I believe it's Hebrew chapter 12. He said, wherefore we are encamped about by such great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay beside